From Storyflow, this is your daily audio brief for June 28th. It's Brock, June 28th, the sports rundown, five stories, no fluff. Let's get into it. First, from BBC Sport Football, Austria scored dramatic late equaliser against Algeria as both progress. Algeria and Austria produce an incredible finish to their Group J meeting, with both teams scoring in injury time to secure the point they need to reach the World Cup knockout stages and send home Iran. Next, second, from The Guardian Sport, Lionel Messi steps off bench and scores to cap Argentina's World Cup win over Jordan. Give him half an hour and he will leave a mark that lasts forever. Lionel Messi's arrival from the bench had preoccupied the overwhelming majority of those under this vast roof, to the extent that the play before it felt almost self-consciously like a prelude. There was no risk, no edge, to an encounter between two sides who knew their fate, so why not bask in seeing a little more history being made? Messi knew better than to disappoint. He had been wayward with a free kick after coming on, but when he won a second 22 yards from goal, the outcome seemed predestined. A whip around the wall, an inordinate amount of bend that meant the ball finished in an almost central position, and the Jordan keeper Yazid Abulela could only look on. A sixth goal in three games, a 19th in World Cup football, a first since turning 39. Keep track of the milestones and then get ready for more, because Messi just keeps them coming. Continue reading up next. Third, from The Guardian Sport, late drama sends Austria and Algeria into World Cup knockouts to break Iran hearts. Before a ball was kicked, the nicknames for this match were rampant. A biscotto was one, an Italian classic implying something that has to be baked twice, one cooperating with the other. Or maybe you preferred the disgrace of Kansas City, recalling the disgrace of Gijon, a callback to the 1982 World Cup where West Germany settled for a 1-0 win over Austria in a result that qualified both teams for the knockout round while eliminating Algeria. But what unfolded here was something else altogether, a new classic of the genre. Call it the Missouri Compromise. On a steamy night in the American Midwest, Algeria and Austria battled gamely, showing heart and desire for most of the match en route to a back-and-forth 3-3 draw that qualified both teams for the knockout round. It came at the expense of Iran, whose brief jubilation at Riyad Mahrez's goal in the third minute of added time was abruptly ended by a Sasa Kalajdzic header with practically the last action of the match. Continue reading and then. Fourth, from Sky Sports, Austria survive huge scare to progress with Algeria and knock Iran out. Super sub Sasa Kalajdzic saved Austria's World Cup with a last-gasp equaliser after Algeria had stunned their Group J rivals deep into stoppage time in a thrilling 3-3 draw which saw both sides progress to the last 32 and Iran knocked out. Next, fifth, from The Guardian Sport, Iran denied in final seconds of Austria's draw with Algeria South Korea out despite victory in their opening match. The race for third place teams reaching the last 32 of the World Cup went down to the wire and the dying seconds of the final match of the 72-game group stage, with Iran and South Korea eventually joining Scotland and Uruguay in missing out. Iran and South Korea miss out on World Cup last 32 in dramatic third place race. Iran appeared to be going through at the expense of Austria after Riyad Mahrez scored in the 93rd minute to put Algeria 3-2 up in their rollercoaster game against Ralf Rangnick's side in Kansas City. But in the 96th minute, Sasa Kalajdzic turned home an equaliser for Austria that saved their World Cup and meant despair for Iran. Continue reading up next. Sixth, from MMA Fighting, AJ McKee calls for title shot after dominating Salamat Isbeliev in PFL San Diego main event. AJ McKee is hunting for gold after dispatching rising contender Salamat Isbeliev in dominant fashion in the PFL San Diego main event. Recognized as one of the top featherweights in the world, McKee used a suffocating grappling game to repeatedly put Isbeliev on the canvas and threaten with submission before unleashing some vicious ground and pound. McKee nearly got the finish in the third round after he started blasted Isbeliev with elbow from the mount, but time ran out before he could earn the stoppage. Still, there was no doubt that McKee did more than enough to win, with the judges all scoring the fight 30-27 in his favor. You call a mercenary when you need something done, McKee shouted after his latest win. Isbeliev is a beast. I underestimated him, but mercenary style, I've got to get him out of there. I want the title. That was the point of the return to the 145-pound division. There was no feeling out process as the featherweights were throwing bombs from the jump, with Isbeliev swinging for the fences on every punch. McKee played good defense and then connected with a stiff left hook of his own. With just over 2 minutes remaining in the opening round, McKee scored with a quick double leg takedown as he wasted no time advancing his position to take the back. Istuliev was trying to escape out the back door and he ended up reversing to land on top of McKee. A scramble led to McKee breaking free and clubbing Istuliev with another hard left hand before another takedown just before the horn. As the second round got started, McKee was quick to attack but a slip put him on the ground with Istuliev trying to land shots from the top. McKee was quick to slip free with Istuliev grabbing a guillotine that almost led to the former Bellator champion snatching a Von Flue choke. Istuliev escaped but McKee was staying on the attack before he finally scored another takedown while trying to find an opening for a potential submission. McKee finally moved into side control where he hammered away with a couple of nasty elbows before the round ended. With 5 minutes remaining, Istuliev had to know a finish was his only way to win and he did manage to open a cut on McKee's eye as the round got started. McKee started firing back with kicks to the body and then going up top to the head. McKee eventually ducked down and grabbed another takedown with just over 90 seconds remaining. While Istuliev desperately tried to grab onto a Kimura, it was McKee who broke free and then snatched an arm triangle choke of his own. Istuliev survived but McKee quickly transitioned to mount where he began raining down elbows trying to get the finish. He didn't get the stoppage but McKee put a stamp on his victory with the closing seconds in the fight. With the win, McKee has now won 3 in a row since returning to 145 pounds and he certainly seems like a title shot should be next with only Timur Kisriev sitting ahead of him in the PFL rankings. Main card AJ, McKee Def, Salamat Istuliev via unanimous decision 30-27x3 Liz Karmach Def. Viviane Araujo via submission Guillotine R2-207 Alexander Chablis Def. Alfie Davis via unanimous decision 30-27x3 Rob Wilkinson Def. Abraham Babley via second round TKO 323 preliminary card Carson Magom Sharapov Def. Joshua Weems via submission head slash arm choke R1-210 Gina Bishop Def. Arian Lipsky Da Silva via submission armbar R1-408 Sarvajan Karmidov Def. Justin Wetzel via submission RNC R2-411 Shannon Clark Def. Ilara Joanne via 3rd round TKO 143 Kobe Fayer Def. Daniel Beezer Dijon via submission Anaconda Choke R1-200. And then, 7th, from MMA Fighting, PFL San Diego Salaries, main event fighter made $10,000 in losing effort. AJ, McKee and Liz Karmach led all fighter salaries for the PFL San Diego event on Saturday night. The salaries were provided to MMA Fighting by the California State Athletic Commission. At the top of the card, McKee made a guaranteed $100,000 for his latest fight with no win bonus attached to his performance. McKee has been a stalwart on the PFL roster since the promotion bought Bellator, where he was a former champion. His opponent Salamat Istuliev takes home a guaranteed $10,000 for showing up for his main event loss via unanimous decision. In the co-main event, Liz Karmach matches McKee's payday as she's earned $50,000 to show and pick it up another $50,000 as her win bonus with her victory. Meanwhile, ex-UFC fighter Viviane Araujo makes $20,000 in the losing effort. McKee, $100,000, no win bonus Salamat Istuliev, $10,000 to show, $10,000 to win, $10,000 lost Liz Karmach, $50,000 to show, $50,000 to win, $100,000 win Viviane Araujo, $20,000 to show, $20,000 to win, $20,000 lost Alexander Chablis, $25,000 to show, $25,000 to win, $50,000 win Alfie Davis, $20,000 to show, $20,000 to win, $20,000 lost Abraham Babley, $10,000 to show, $10,000 to win, $20,000 lost Rob Wilkinson, $20,000 to show, $20,000 to win, $40,000 won Carson Magom Sharapov, $20,000 to show, $20,000 to win, $40,000 won Joshua Weems, $10,000 to show, $10,000 to win, $10,000 lost Arian Da Silva, silver, $13,000 to show, $13,000 to win, $13,000 lost, Gina Bishop, $20,000, $10 to show, $20,000 to win, $40,000 WON, Justin Wetzel, $10,000 to show, $10,000 to win, $10,000 lost, Sarvajan Hamidov, $20,000 to show, $20,000 to win, $40,000 WON, Shannon Clark, $3,000 to show, $3,000 to win, made $6,000 WON, Elara Joanne, $10,000 to show, $10,000 to win, made $10,000 lost, Kirby Fayer, $5,000 to show, $5,000 to win, made $10,000 WON, Daniel Beezer Digent, $5,000 to show, $5,000 to win, made $5,000 lost. Here are the full salaries for the PFL San Diego card on Saturday. AJ. Next, 8th, from The Guardian Sport, Alphonso Davies returns as Canada approach World Cup moment of destiny. Los Angeles State offers Bayern Munich player the chance to heal a wound which opened at the same stadium last March. The decoy days are over apparently. Alphonso Davies made his first media appearance of this World Cup in Los Angeles on Saturday lunchtime and promised the opening last 32 game of the tournament would be the stage for his long-awaited return. For Canada, who face fellow knockout newcomers South Africa here in a Sunday matinee, it could not come at a more crucial time. For his head coach, Jesse Marsh, who had used Davies' fitness as an apparent ruse to distract his Swiss counterparts in Vancouver this week, it's opportune too. That gimmick didn't work. Les Rouges suffered a first defeat of their own World Cup and were sent down south. Continue reading up next. 9th, from PFD Alt, Baker Mayfield on contract talks. It's a matter of finding that middle ground. The clock keeps ticking for Baker Mayfield and the Buccaneers to get a new deal done before Mayfield's stated deadline of the start of training camp. At his football camp in Oklahoma on Saturday, the topic of his contract came up during a session with reporters. I would love to be there, Mayfield said via a video posted on the Sooner Scoop YouTube channel. I think both sides want to get it done. Now it's a matter of finding that middle ground and what makes both sides happy. We fell in love with Tampa, and it's a great place to raise kids and be around. So regardless of what happens, I think we'll spend our off seasons there. Obviously, it's a little brutally hot, but it's good for training, but it's yeah, I want to be there long term. They treated me right, and it's the first place I've gotten to that feels like Oklahoma when it comes down to football is football. How can they put you in the best position to have success on the field, and how can they give their resources to help you out? And so, it's a great place. Two takeaways. 1. The key question, as it usually is regarding the negotiation, is whether the two sides will move far enough from their positions to meet somewhere in the middle. That depends on where they are and how much room they have to move. Mayfield is entering the last season of a 3-year, $100 million deal. Absent an extension and a willingness by the Buccaneers to apply a franchise tag that would cost nearly $48 million in 2027, he'll be then unrestricted free agent in March. Second, by deciding to spend his off-seasons in Tampa, he has entertained the possibility of spending his football seasons elsewhere. That could be the key to getting the negotiations to a middle ground that Mayfield likes. Sometimes, a team will use a player's apparent desire to stay put against him by offering less than market value. To get fair value, Mayfield has to both know what his market is and be willing to leave in order to get more than what the Buccaneers are willing to pay. And then, 10th, from Awful Announcing, ABC7 reporter Abigail Velez apologizes to Bosnia after viral World Cup comments. The United States men's national soccer team will take on Bosnia and Herzegovina in the 2006 FIFA World Cup round of 32 on Wednesday in Santa Clara, and after the USA lost to Turkey in the World Cup group stage. ABC7 Los Angeles reporter Abigail Velez made disrespectful comments about Bosnia with comments that went viral. I could not point out where it is on a map, Velez said about Bosnia during an ABC7 Live news report. But you're gonna get it. My goodness. The stereotypes write themselves. Hash FIFA World Cup pick.twitter.com/UBJ3UGYL Bosnian football at Bosnia and T-Ball June 27, 2026. Understandably, those comments didn't go over well, and Velez has received plenty of criticism as the video continues to go viral. And on Saturday night, Velez issued an apology to the people of Bosnia and the Bosnian football team with a statement posted to her social media accounts X, Threads, Instagram, and Facebook. Abigail Velez at ABC7 Abigail June 27, 2026. In a poor effort to have a little fun with WON LD Cup competition, I took it too far and made a thoughtless comment on air that was insensitive and inappropriate, Velez explained in the written statement. I don't know the first thing about Bosnia, and I don't wanna know. That's because Team USA, we're back, we're better than ever. That's next Wednesday. Get prepared, Bosnia, because you don't want it. You don't want it like that. I apologize to the people of Bosnia and the Bosnian football team. The World Cup is supposed to be about uniting communities around the world, and my comment didn't reflect that spirit. Wishing all the teams the very best as they continue their World Cup journey. This is the second World Cup appearance for Bosnia and Herzegovina and their first trip to the tournament's knockout stage after pulling off a 3-1 upset victory over Qatar in group stage action. The Post ABC7 reporter Abigail Velez apologizes to Bosnia after viral World Cup comments appeared first on Awful Announcing. That's the rundown. Back at it tomorrow.